This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So I'm going to talk about Isaiah 54. I've really tried to shorten it. Because in the evening service, we tend to have a little bit more leeway. Here we have a whole host of kids that's at 11 o'clock are tired. Hulle is moeg. So ons gaan begin by Jesaja 54. Dit sê, jubel onvrugbare vrou, jy wat geen kinders in die wêreld gebring het nie, jubel en juig. Jy wat geen geboortepyne geken het nie, want jy verstote vrou, gaan nou meer kinders hê as een wat getroud is, sê die Here. Maak groter die plek vir jou tent, maak breër jou tentdoeke, moenie suinig daarmee wees, werk nie, maak langer die tentlyne en slaan die tentpenne dieper in. En dan vers 3 en 4, want jy sal na alle kante toe uitbrei, jou nageslag sal nasies verdryf, en in die stede wat nou verwoes is gaan woon, moenie bang wees nie, jy sal nie weer in die skande kom nie, moenie so verleë daar staan nie, jy sal nie weer verneder word nie. So net om 'n bietjie agtergrond te gee, so Jesaja het hierdie stukkie geprofeteer, en die mense wat hy geprofeteer, of wat die mense met wie hy gepraat het, was in ballingskap gewees. Onthou jylle, Daniel het so 7 gesê, 7 na 70 jaar het hy gelees, en toe het hy gesê, okay, nou moet ek vir 21 dae vas, en toe is ek om ons Daniel vas noem, onthou jylle daai stukkie. Nou, Daniel het gelees van die 70 jaar, en Jesaja het groot stukke geprofeteer van voor daai tyd, van wat die mense alles verkeerd gedoen het, wat hulle gesondig het, en hoekom het die Here hulle weggevat in ballingskap. En dan hier van Jesaja 40 af, bou het so op en het bou op tot Jesaja 53 met Jesus wat kom, wat profeteer van Jesus, en net daarna kom ons by Jesaja 54. So, ek weet ons het al baie gesê, en Ras sê dit gereeld, as ons gaan lees in die Oud Testament, en spesifiek in hierdie geval, moet jy, voor jy regtig in die tekst ingaan, moet jy nou net so bietjie verstaan, what's it about? Vir wie was die lesers van hierdie skrif oorspronkelijk gewees? Vir wie het Jesaja geskryf? Hy het geskryf vir die mense wat in ballingskap was. Kan julle onthou van Daniel hulle? Hulle het 'n ander naam gekry. Hulle was slame gewees. Hulle vrugbaarheid is van hulle weggeneem. Die keus is, as jy kyk in die Ou Testament, of daai tyd honderde jare terug, om 'n slaaf te wees, ons kan ooit regtig verstaan wat dit is om 'n slaaf te wees, want jy is basies 'n stoel. As die stoel nie sy funksie doen nie, gooi ek die stoel weg. Jy was net 'n nommer gewees. Ons praat vandag van, ek is net 'n nommer, maar ek dink jy weet regtig wat dit beteken om 'n slaaf te gewees het, toe Jesaja die geskryf het en gesê het, jy is net 'n nommer nie. En hy skryf hier die mense, wat alle hoop verloor het, want hulle is weggeneem uit hulle land uit, hulle is ver weg in 'n vreemde land, waar hulle vreemde godsdienst, vreemde gebruik op hulle afgedwing word. Hulle het, as jy nou regtig gaan dink aan oor, as jy na 70 jaar of in daai tyd, jy het vergeet van die beloftes van God. Jy kan skaars onthou daar's 'n God. Yes, ons het Daniel wat goeie voorbeelde was, maar Daniel was nie die enigste mense wat in ballingskap was nie. Daar was duisende mense in ballingskap. So, Jesaja begin en hy profeteer en hy kom, en ek gaan nou ongelukkig jammer, ek is maar bietjie meer Engels in preek as dit in Afrikaans, so ek raak bietjie, my Afrikaans is nie so goed nie. Ek gaan bietjie begin lees in Engels. Dit begin met te sê, sing a barren, ek gaan net weer in Engels ook net lees vir die van myself ook net vir julle ook. Sing a barren one, you have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you have not labored with child. For more the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And then say the Lord, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. So I want to start with who it was addressed to, and I think I've already addressed that. Ek het al bietjie daaroor gepraat, Elana, jy kan sommer deurgaan. So hy praat with the childless, die kinderlose, die persoon wat hy sê daar onvrugbaar is, barren, you have not born, you have not labored with child. En as enige een van julle bietjie van onthou van Afrikaans op skool of Engels tale, dan praat hulle van as jy in 'n gedig of iets wil beklemtoon, dan herhaal jy dit. As jy iets wil meer, wat mense die leser half kan agterkom, hierso is dis belangrik, dan sê jy dit 3 keer op die verskillende maniere. En dis presies wat Jesaja doen, hy herhaal dit, want hy wil hierdie lesers moet weet met wie hy praat. En dan kom hy daar aan en hy praat van die woordjie word gebruik, the desolate. En ek wil regtig julle moet ons net 'n bietjie stilstaan met hierdie woordjie, want dit is 'n belangrike woordjie in die konteks van hierdie Jesaja. Die verstote is die Engels-Afrikaanse woord. Nou die desolate hierso is nie, moet jy half dink, soos in, as jy kyk na 'n pan water, of 'n woestyn, dis 'n landskap, dis desolate, there is no life. Dis waarvan het praat. En het, in die, as jy gaan kyk na die Hebreeus waarvan het praat, dit beteken ook stand, en you've grown numb. Jy het so lank, wat jy in 'n moeilike tyd was, so lank was hierdie mense in 'n moeilike tyd, dat they have been stand, that they have been made silent, hulle het stil geraak, die hoop het verdor in hulle harte, and they become quiet. It's lie wasted, destroyed, and destitute. So when Isaiah is talking to these people, he understands, and God is speaking to them, and he understands where they're coming from. And so often in our lives, we get stunned because of circumstances. In South Africa, we get this corruption thing day one. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they don't let us alone. Saturday, Sunday, and the next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it goes on for however long. And so easy we can say, you know what? We've just gone silent. We've gone quiet in our hearts. Let the politicians deal with it. But you know what? How many of us prayed, you know, that thing that everything that is evil, everything that is not good, that will shout it out from the rooftops? We've prayed that over the years. And God has actually been answering our prayers because literally all the sins are being shouted from the rooftops. Not all of them. We're praying all of them, but, you know, most of them, a lot of them, embarrassing number of them. So that is what the devil tries to do. And this is where the situation was where the Israelites were. They were in this, in Babylonia. They were slaves. They've lost all hope. They were literally stunned into silence. They had nothing more to say. And that's really what the devil wants to do to all of us. He wants to silence us. I'm not going to go into the next two slides, Yolanda. I'm going to jump into the first promise. Because God says that. And then the first thing he says, more the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. More the children of the barren than that of the children of the one that's married with children. And that's a promise to us in the natural, in the spiritual, and specifically in the spiritual that we're talking about this morning. And then first, I'm going to go back to verse 1. It says, sing, O barren one. And so awesome. I don't know who picked that song. Hallelujah, the song, sing whenever. Sing, O barren one, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. And God understands, sometimes we get into this position where you're just so silent, we're not speaking, we're quiet. And it's not about, sometimes about the government, sometimes about your family, sometimes a relationship or finance, whatever. You get so quiet, it's been going on so long that you've gone quiet. You're not doing anything about it. And God, so when God comes and Isaiah prophesies and speaks to the Israelites, the first thing that he says is, sing. In the Afrikaans, it says, jubel en juig. Now, jubel en juig is not something, and I'm going to go in there. So that word, sing, is very important. I had to Google this, how to say stridulous. Sing, jubel, means a stridulous sound. So what it means, it is loud, it is raucous, it's vociferous, it is boisterous. It is not, what it is not quiet. And sometimes in life, when we stand, we have to take account of where we are and what are the things that God has been saying and laying on our hearts and what are our obstacles, and we have to actually speak against it. We have to stand up and we have to speak, and we have to stand up and we have to sing. And that's where this Isaiah 54 starts. Sing. So if we are quiet, if you are struggling in an area, then you have to check. Have I gone quiet there? Have I stopped praying about it? Because, you know, it's been 20 years now and still nothing. So, you know, are you going to stop praying? No, you have to continue praying. You have to continue. You've got to shout. You've got to open your mouth and you've got to speak. What does Jesus teach us about the mountain? How do we get the mountain in the sea? Do we do a, you know, think, meditate? Anybody? How do we get the mountain in the sea? You tell it, you say it, you speak it. Our faith is on our lips. Always been that way. When we speak, things happen. When Jesus spoke, things happen. When we speak, things happen. God spoke the world into being. the spoken word. We have to speak. We have to speak on this earth. We cannot be silent. We are God's voice. We have to speak. So if you walk away this morning, just remember one thing. Speak. Open your mouth and speak. Because the devil wants to quiet us. If we're quiet, we're ineffective. We're not getting things done. And also, you postpone things. I don't know if you noticed that. If you're under pressure, then and things are not going right. You know, now you need to get to something, but you're not getting to it because you just focus on other things. You choose where you're going to focus. You choose on other things, and you let that one thing that you need to address, you leave it behind, and you think, okay, well, one day. I'm going to get to it one day. So it's not the one day. It's the now day. It's like the Nike slogan, just do it. Now. Yes. So I really want you to think about that. And the next portion of that scripture talks about enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So when this scripture has been on my heart for quite a while. So I've been praying about it since before that, before I preached on it last year. And when we think about these things, just the picture of the tent, yeah, it's a very crude picture. So I just want, there's a couple of components of the tent. So if you want to make the tent bigger, there's a couple of things you have to do. And Isaiah is using a very practical example to the Israelites of the time. They knew tents, you know. I'm not so good at tents. I'm not a camper really. Don't have a tent at home, but I know Dale and a couple of guys are really, they know tents. So, you know, you give them a bag with a tent and they're going to get it up. They're going to get it right. Me, not so much. I'll get there, maybe tomorrow morning. Sleep under the stars for the first night. So if look at the tent and you'll see there's a tent pole in the middle. And there's poles on the sides. And there's this curtain. So the Bible talks about these things as curtains. But it's just a sail. In Afrikaans, but also a sail. Span your sailor. You want your sailor, big veer span. And then you've got the lines. And you've got the tent pegs. And when Isaiah is talking, he's talking to this. First of all, he says barren woman, and he speaks about this. So if I think about, just put yourself in the place. You're not just in the literal. If you're a barren lady back in the day, now you physically have to think about actually how you're going to make this tent bigger. The first of all, I don't know if like most of our houses are, you know, it's like, you know, The surroundings is quite nice in the sense that it's fairly level, there's grass. But if you're in the desert and you pitch your tent, generally to expand your tent, it's not just a thing of just expanding your tent. You'll have to move a couple of rocks, chop down a tree. You've got to actually make room for the tent to go out. Unless you're in the Karoo where nothing grows, then it's easy. But, you know, I come from Nyasa, so then you'll have to chop down a yellow wood tree or something. You'll have to make some room there because there ain't no space around. You'll have to make room. And then you have to lift, because if you extend, now you want to extend the tent, but you can't take the curtains and just move it to the side. It's not going to work. You're not going to be able to do that. So you literally have to move the tent poles inside. And then, I don't know if you've seen that. Sometime back, I don't know, we were trying to pitch a tent somewhere, and the tent pegs, I don't know, there was somewhere the bags got switched around, and the tent was big, and the tent pegs was yay small. So you tried the tent pegs, but it didn't really work, because it didn't want to carry the weight of the tent. It just pulled out of the ground. And then the other thing that you, I don't know if how many of you pitched a tent,